Hi, I'm Gina Jordan, Morning Edition host here at WFSU Public Media. And today we're speaking of Black History Month. Tallahassee is home to one of the country's top-ranked historically Black universities. So we went to the campus of Florida A&M University to ask students what Black History Month means to them.
It's really just like a month of pride, you know, especially here at an HBCU. You know, we just celebrate our roots and stuff like that.
I just feel like Black history is a key part of this country, and it should be like talked about and represented more.
To me, Black History Month means my culture, my heritage, everything that my people have done in the past and what we're continuing to do now.
Recognize how far Black people have come from in this country, like how much they had to go through. Also, not just looking back, it's for like uplifting the Black people who are here today, because oppression and stuff like that still exists today. Like people look at you as less just for your skin color, or they look at you as like dangerous just for your skin color. It's just, I guess it's a month of mindfulness and just of remembrance.
I figure that we go through many things as in our culture, and we're here to support each other. It's about a month of support and just loving on one another and seeing each other's accomplishments.
Thank you to those FAMU students in order: Eloquence Flowers, Kendrick Stevenson, Jabria Franklin, Caleb Cryer, and Tatiana Brown. Tallahassee is among the municipalities marking Black History Month. Special exhibits are on display. Guided tours are happening at the Grove Museum. And last weekend's Harambee Festival at Cascades Park, hosted by FAMU, brought entertainment and more to celebrate Black art, culture, and music.
That's really important, especially at this current time when a lot of our history is being removed from the educational process.
We found FAMU Assistant Dean of Education Errol Wilson working in information booth.
It is problematic, the current direction that we're going in, and because of that, intentional steps need to be taken to ensure that all educational information is at our fingertips. So we have to be very intentional about that. Verbal history is also very important, and at the end of the day, it's very important that within the African-American community, we are taking the charge to teach and educate our youngsters.
One of our local teachers of history is Dr. Anthony Thompson. He's an assistant professor of African American history and United States history at Tallahassee State College. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Right out of the gate, I want to know, should we have a Black History Month?
Oh, yes, we should. You know, as much as some people believe that, it should not be included in American history, and it kind of maybe dismisses other people's history. It was a history. It's a history within itself of many people deciding to withdraw the history or ignore the history of African-Americans with a purpose to keep African-Americans as a downtrodden people. Dr. Carter G. Woodson in 1926, he's the second PhD at Harvard, first being W.E.B. Du Bois, decided that he was going to, amongst a group of other individuals, to put together a month to celebrate and recognize the achievements of African Americans. And his thesis was to decide, well, if many African Americans during this time of Jim Crow, at the height of Jim Crow, that is, in the South and across the United States, if they did not know the history of their achievements, they may not know what they could potentially be in society. Despite the disenfranchisement and despite the mistreatment, they can still within their own communities feel a great sense of pride within themselves to be able to achieve and do things in their communities. So, yeah, that's why I believe that it's important that this history still exists, because it's still showing and revealing the greatness of this group of people that helped make America what it is today, for all peoples, Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, purple, yellow, whatever you want to call yourself or identify. The history of African-Americans in this country has done a great deal of help to make America a better place.
Yeah. Black History Month was officially recognized in the U.S. by the late President Gerald Ford in 1976, so almost 50 years ago.
Right.
What do you think Black History Month is supposed to be about, and has it been successful?
I think that it has been successful, and I think that it's about the celebration of African-American culture and its histories and achievements. And it also helps us to recognize just how far we've come and how much further we have to go. Just as a nation, African-Americans are first Americans. And so though our history traces itself back to the continent of Africa, it's important to understand that history of where we came from, how we got here, to reconcile with that history. It's not just with Black people to celebrate this history, but all Americans can be embracing this history so that we don't repeat the same mistakes again. That's one of the main reasons why anyone studies anyone's histories.
So having said all that, not that there is any direct link with DEI, but do you think Black History Month takes on new meaning at a time when programs surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion at the state and federal level are being dismantled?
Yeah, unfortunately, some people equate DEI with Black. You know, statistics and just basic reading of information gives you a clear definition with what DEI really means. But it's become one of those boogeyman terms, unfortunately. And I think that it will add some muddle to the puddle, if you will, to make it to where it's going to affect the teaching of African-American history or affect the availability of the celebratory attitude of Black History Month in general.
Let's talk about what you're able to talk about with your students, because changes have happened in state law. Can you talk about Black History Month with your students?
Oh, yeah, definitely I can. You know, the interesting thing is a lot of people just really don't know the laws. You know, since the establishment of the Florida Consortium of Teaching African-American History. This was put together by Commissioners of Education put this thing together in the 2000s. Since 1994, it has been mandatory that there be some type of African-American history taught K-12. Now, what's included in that curriculum may differ over the years. However, there is a great deal of African-American history that can still be taught without having to be fearful. And it's all in how you do it. I think more seasoned teachers recognize the importance of not just, you know, dwelling on so much of the harsh past to make someone feel some type of way in the classroom, but also teaching the inclusivity of other people's groups that also fought the same fights as African-Americans in this country. And so that makes it a lot easier. When I'm in the classroom, I make sure that I mention not just the things that African-Americans have done, but the contributions of other groups of people that helped African-Americans to get to where they are, whether it be the small individuals, like, say, somebody may think that this individual is like a tyrannic person, but like John Brown and Harper's Ferry, Virginia, and what this white individual was able to do pre-Civil War. You had William Lloyd Garrison, which was an abolitionist, a white individual in the Northeast region of the United States. You had a great deal of people, the Sarah and Angelina Grimke. They were also huge people in the abolitionist movement during their time period. And to white women at a time where they could have, you know, relinquished their status in society and very well could have been thrown in jail and in some cases other violence put upon them for just speaking out against the institution of slavery. And so, you know, these same things, Father Gropey in the 1960s and 70s, he was, a white Catholic minister that walked alongside Dr. Martin Luther King in his marches. These people aren't praised enough. But if you don't know the history that goes along with Black history, you're not going to know these other individuals as well. And I think that's what makes it important to just kind of know American history and also know the small, intricate histories of other ethnic groups, that we all share more things in common than we don't, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that that's important to understand.
Yeah. One of the big concerns has been, essentially, we're legislating whether someone feels a certain way.
Right.
And it sounds like you're really focusing on some positive things. But do you have any concerns about having these kinds of discussions in the classroom?
I taught K-12, high school particularly, for roughly 15, 16 years. just within recent years, I received my doctorate degree in educational leadership and policy from Florida State. The thing that I was studying is the impact that a curriculum that is more inclusive of culture would have on teaching a class that is just regular textbook style curriculum, you know, and how it would impact its learners, particularly those of African-American heritage. And what I was able to find was that as more students were able to learn not just about their own culture, but after learning their own, they became more interested in learning other people's cultures as well and drawing the connections. These students did these things on their own. Say, oh, that's just like what happened with them. Oh, no, that happened with them, too. And you start seeing the connections and let the students have these conversations amongst themselves. One of the things in social studies, even on a college level that I find myself doing, I find myself just being a necessary narrator and mediator of the discussions that they're having. And it allows for me to say, OK, now you might be getting a little off track, or maybe you could consider this. You know, you make sure that you are a referee of whether or not the students are going to be, you know, rude or say some things that might be out of line or taking offense. But because of your presence and allowing for them to have a space to have these discussions, it makes it all much more safe. And they leave different people because they learn from each other.
Well, it's interesting to let them have those conversations.
Uh-huh.
And you can help steer them.
Yes,
as
yes.
Needed. Mm-hmm. Well, in the midst of all of this, Florida lawmakers approved the state's Black History Museum and appointed a task force to determine where it should go. And that task force voted 5-4 in selecting St. John's County near St. Augustine. Uh-huh. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about this, especially since this is Florida's first Black History Museum.
Right. Well, see, there's a lot of different museums dedicated to the history of African Americans. You got one right here in town. You got the John G. Riley House. You also have the Meek Eaton Black Archives Research and Museum on Florida A&M's campus. But they are like small regional histories, and they're spread throughout the entire state. The fact that we're just now getting one dedicated to African American history, sadly, it doesn't surprise me, only because if you're willing to take money away from things like arts and, you know, music, naturally, it's going to take a lot more time to allocate to actually create a history dedicated to just one group of people. They've done a good job of making sure that all histories have been represented. It's just the it takes a lot of money and publicity to get people to get the foot traffic into these type of museums.
Yeah. Let's shift gears briefly and talk about the word woke.
Okay.
What do you think it means, and has it been misappropriated?
Yes. Yes, it has. Another one of those boogeyman terms. You know, woke has this history of going back to the Holocaust of enslavement of African-American people in this country. One of the blues singers from the 1920s, if I'm not mistaken, I can't call his name, but he actually used the phrase woke as a term to say, hey, keep your eyes open. Stay open to the oppression that you may be that you may receive. Be able to, you know, just be aware of your surroundings, socially conscious of your surroundings so that you can literally survive. And so I think that this new within our last, what, 2-3 years of American society, you know, you got this wokeism thing. And the reality is that it's we having this conversation about Black history is just not knowing enough Black history, because if they know, they'd be aware. And I also believe that sometimes people choose to be ignorant so that they can actually perpetuate the ideas that they truly believe in. And may cause harm to someone else that they may not like.
Yeah.
For instance, someone could just say, hey, I'd rather remain ignorant just so I can spew this hatred. You know what I mean? Other than actually learning the history and drawing those connections between people. You know, I can respect you if you don't like me because just some other very concrete things. But if you don't like me just because of what you think I believe in and you don't quite understand what I believe in, that's another situation. And I think that we have, and that also stems, that hatred stems from that fear. And, you know, fear drives hate. And a part of that fear is the fear of the unknown. Ignorance drives the fear. And so if fear is going to drive the hate, it all stems from what the person does not know or what they choose not to know. And I truly believe that that's the root of the schism that comes with this fear and hatred of the term woke is that they truly just don't know. Because if they knew, they would understand that this is just the survival tactic, just to stay alive.
So Florida's Stop Woke Act, which was named by Governor Ron DeSantis, you think this is
his ignorance.
A misunderstanding?
Yes. Yes. He's the governor of our state, and, you know, he is elected, and I believe that he is going to truly do his best to try to guide our state. I want to go on the record of saying that. However, I think that there is a high level of ignorance that goes across anybody, you know, that believes that this type of rhetoric is doing more good than it is doing harm. It makes people fearful of their day-to-day lives and what could happen to them and what they can and cannot talk about in a professional setting. And in some cases, not even in a professional setting, you know, whatever they say might affect them where they work or where they live. That's a scary place to live. So I would just hope that more people, more Americans in general, would literally just study a little more history and draw the connections, be willing to be vulnerable to draw the connections between yourself and somebody who is not like you. And so therefore, it strips this fear away. And so now you no longer are acting on the fear, which helps create hate. And you can be able to act on knowledge. And hopefully that knowledge will create space for loving each other.
Mm. Do you think movements like Black Lives Matter make a difference for Black people?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think that it's the boots to the grounds type of organizations that allow for, as we talked about earlier, media. Media plays a huge role. People are seeing what's happening out there in the streets. And so they're doing a lot more and, dare I say, staying aware or woke of what's going on in society. And despite whatever the underlying, you know, leaders might have done here or there, I think that it has garnered enough attention to allow for America to see that we haven't made it as far as we thought we've made it. This idea that we've made it and we're living in this post-racial society couldn't be further from the truth. And I think that the Black Lives Matter movement and movements like it has shown America that we have a long way to go, if nothing else. And so, yes, it has done more positive than it has done negative as it relates to the understanding of where we are in this society.
Mm-hmm. Well, the U.S. recognizes 9 Heritage and History Months. So we have the Black History Month. We also recognize women, Asian Americans, Native Americans, Hispanic, Heritage, Arab Americans. There are some arguments that are critical of having all of these Heritage Months.
Yeah.
And one is that it waters down the historical importance of these groups and their experiences. But the other is that it's actually an effort to keep these groups as the others,
right,
rather than part of this broader culture that we define as America. So where do you stand on those criticisms?
March 15th, I'll have on my green. Okay, the St. Paddy's Days. I am an African-American male, but I will celebrate the culture of the Irish people in this country because I have some Irish people that I truly love. You understand what I'm saying? And so some people might find it ridiculous to maybe see a white American or somebody that identifies as, you know, European-American descent. I may not expect for them to be like, oh, I'm going to wear a dashiki. If you want to do that, fine, right? However, I think that just understanding the celebratory nature, because if I can celebrate something with you, that means I show some sense of appreciation for you, for your history, for your common struggle, and I might even be able to identify with some of your success and some of your historical struggles. And if I can identify with those things, then I draw more connections with you, which draws more love, and we can all be under this umbrella of America. We have this choice. We have to protect this thing called democracy, and a part of protecting it is being able to understand each other and love each other. If we don't do that, we're going to continue to divide. That's just where it is. And so, yes, people do have a notion that these months marginalize their history and puts them in the box. However, if we all engaged in actually celebrating these months with each other, and again, I cannot stress enough drawing the connections between one another, we become more in oneness and much less divided.
We recently lost a longtime state lawmaker who was big in the civil rights movement, Geraldine Thompson. She was a state representative and a state senator. She was an Orlando Democrat, very highly respected. Any thoughts you'd like to share about her?
Yes. Whenever we lose someone that's, that has been such of a foot soldier for the rights of many, for the rights of those that seem downtrodden, or for the rights of those that may have some sense of misrepresentation. Whenever we lose someone like that, it's always a loss within our country, particularly within our state of Florida. And so I really hope that we can find somebody that's going to pick up the mantle and start doing the work to which she left off, which is some big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Okay, Anthony, is there anything else you'd like us to know about Black History Month?
I think that more people should celebrate. You know, the more we can get together, the better we'll be as a nation. Don't just stop with February. Let it be all year round that you're learning about other people. Don't just let it be Black history either. Learn about the histories of the labor movements and the Irish and the Southeast region of Europe and these Europeans that came to the United States during the labor movement and what they had to go through. Learn some Southeast Asian history. Learn all the different groups, the Hispanic nations and the Latino peoples that come over. You will learn to appreciate the cultures when you are able to draw the connections between what's going on with you and your family and your history and then what happened to them. And so I think that that's what would draw us more together. Just never stop learning. The moment you choose that you don't want to learn anymore, you close your mind off, and closed-mindedness leads to not having that knowledge, and the lack of knowledge drives fear. Fear drives hate.
History is knowledge.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We've been speaking with Dr. Anthony Thompson, an assistant professor of history at Tallahassee State College. Anthony, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Gina Jordan. I always wanted to say that on the radio.